Laureen Gilbert is a financial advisor with and securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
8:01 the time. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Beautiful, kind of clearing out Wednesday morning edition. We welcome, as we do each and every week, the award-winning president and CEO of WealthWise Financial Services, in for the WealthWise moment, Laureen Gilbert. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic this morning. How are you today?
You had a good Christmas. You had a good holiday.
I really, really did. I'm actually, you know, and this is so strange, I'm actually officially on vacation, but I can't stay out of this place.
I love working with you.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being up. Thank you for being up and about. I know that you have a couple of places that are your go-tos for wintertime, and you're at one of them right now, so have a great day skiing, I hope.
Yeah, well, I am working today, but I might actually go for an hour on the lift as soon as we're done, because there is fresh powder out, and fresh powder is amazing.
Yeah, as we were talking, there's nothing like that feeling of being the first on fresh powder, so a very good day to you there. You may have heard the song on the hold button right before we came on. It was called a Travel Suite Flight 602 from Chicago. We'll talk about airlines and Flight 602 in just a minute. But I asked the audience a question earlier this morning, and I'm curious about you. When do you take your Christmas lights down?
Well, you know, it depends. I'll give you that answer. I have traditionally taken them down right at the beginning of the year. That has been because, you know, I feel like things should come down. However, as you know, I also have a place in Dallas, Texas. And in Dallas, people leave their lights on through January. And I think it's because there is so much effort put into Christmas lights in Dallas, and they go all out. And, you know, I kind of joined in that party as well. So I think for me in Dallas, I'm going to leave them up for 2 weeks into the new year, just to kind of get that full experience of the lights being up and having them put up and taken down. So I'm going to kind of put it right in the middle there, middle of the month.
Right. So
what are you hearing from people?
I'm hearing from different areas of the country, and much like you just described, from different areas of the country, I'm hearing different things. A batch of Florida listeners, almost to the person, talk about taking them down in mid to late January, which surprises me because it's not really wintry weather. And I think, well, when it's not really wintry, you'd think you'd want to come down fast. I myself, they're down the next day. My lights are gone. The houses no longer
have the day after Christmas.
The day after, and if I could, I would do it. I would do it Christmas night before midnight. I'm just
wow.
Once it's happened, once we've had like dinner at Christmas, you know, the Christmas dinner's done. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to just move on and maybe just you know, into the new year. I don't know. I've always been that way, and I think is that a bah humbug thing to people that light the lights up all year? Yeah.
I think it's just, you know, obviously it's just preference, but you know. Are you putting them up and you're taking them down, or are you having somebody else do it?
Oh, I do it myself. I'm the roof. Actually, this year I had Anne Marie climb up on the roof. But
oh my God.
I'll hold the ladder, honey. No.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but I'm a day after Christmas. They're gone. And here in the studio, I hung the lights up here in the lobby and in the studio as well. I have yet to take them down, but I'm thinking today's the day. I'm thinking today's
ready.
The day. Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
And we're ready to move on.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad, and I'd love a picture of yours because I know that yours are really cool, elaborate, and they go to music and everything.
You a picture. It's pretty elaborate. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very cool. Let's talk about flights and airlines, and some airlines not doing really well. We know that it was just a chaotic weekend for Southwest, and I think the obvious question for me is they got billions of dollars in taxpayer aid. Why is its service still a mess?
So I don't think we know the full story of exactly what has happened with Southwest, but clearly they've crumbled. So they've had 11,000 flights canceled.
Wow.
11,000.
Wow.
And so you just multiply how many people have been impacted. And for me personally, two people, one of my employees got stuck in the Midwest, and he is stuck there for a week extra. And then somebody who was supposed to come out for New Year's also had a flight canceled. And then I know a third person who was coming out to Colorado and their flight was canceled. So, you know, I mean, that's just me. Everybody knows somebody at this point, most likely, who has been impacted by Southwest Airlines. And the big question, like you said, is why did the other airlines not get impacted as much as Southwest? And Southwest just cratered. One of the theories is that they don't have traditional hubs in the same way that the large, so they're a regional carrier, right, and then there are the national carriers. And all of the national carriers have hubs where they figure everything out. Okay. Southwest doesn't really have the hub system. I mean, DFW, Dallas Love Field is one of their biggest, but it's still not like some of the other airlines. And that's been part of the theory that as they got rattled by the weather, they just have been behind the eight ball and they have not been able to recover. And then, as you know, we've talked about before with the airlines, what happens with the pilots, as well as the flight attendants, everybody involved, they get timed out. So if they're there and they're a pilot and they've been there too long and the flight hasn't taken off, they've timed out, they can't fly now. And then they have to have a new crew. So they've had logistics problem. It's all about logistics. And of course, we know that the transportation secretary has been on it and spoken about it. The Congress has been speaking about it. But honestly, you know, they're going to get to the bottom of what happened with Southwest. I think the most important thing is that people need to be reimbursed. And just today, they were saying that Southwest was saying that not only are they actively refunding customers, they're also reaching out to see somebody had to change a flight. Like my employee is having to pay $1,400 to get back. So, you know, that is unreasonable. That's not a reasonable flight when you already had something booked that was hundreds of dollars, not thousands. So I think that's where they need to step up. They need to make people whole.
Okay. And I think that my follow-up on that is that, okay, so it's a combination really of bad luck and bad planning on their part, which is really bad management. The storm hit Chicago and Denver really hard, where Southwest has two of their larger hubs or you know, mobile hubs, as they say. And also underinvestment in technology for booking flights. Is that right?
Absolutely. And exactly. And so what the CEO said yesterday or this morning, one of the two, was, you know, clearly we need to put more money into that technology in order to, you know, ramp things up. So, you know, yeah, why they were not, they thought they were prepared, right, but they weren't prepared. And so now they've got to shore things up, but obviously, you know, they're kind of crumbling right now.
Right. And that brings up my serious and almost morbid question to you. You fly an awful lot. I know you do. And I know that your employees fly a lot. Are you concerned about if they underinvest in the technology for booking, that they may also be underinvesting in maintenance and repair? And are we all just waiting for a Southwest jet to fall out of the sky before they address anything?
Well, thankfully, that's where we have the FAA to watch out and make sure that those regulations are in place and that planes are safe. I just know for myself, you know, after this fiasco, do I want to fly Southwest? No.
Right.
And I think you're going to have a lot of people who say that. In fact, Ed, I actually have a free Southwest ticket to use that was awarded to me. Right. And I'm thinking, do I even want to take a chance?
No.
On the airline? I think I'm going to wait to take that flight for a while.
Yeah,
make sure they get back on track.
I'll be like the guy in that Twilight Zone episode. Lorraine, don't get on that plane. I'll be that guy right there. Let's move on into, and you tell me if I'm falling into a misconception, because there's been a popular theory that's emerged about Elon Musk and Tesla and his love affair with Twitter. And I'm curious if his love affair with Twitter is the reason that Tesla shares have lost so much value this year. Can a stock be driven by personality?
So a stock can be driven by sentiment.
Okay.
And sentiment has changed. And that's why you've seen Tesla shares. The concern was, there's a couple of concerns. One, is Elon Musk spending too much time with Twitter and he's distracted and not spending enough time on Tesla? One concern. The other concern is just about corporate earnings going forward. And, you know, what is that going to look like for Tesla? And given demand questions in both U.S. and China. So that has also been a worry or concern. So the first one was investor sentiment, concerned about him being distracted. The second is more economic concern and looking at, you know, what is the future for Tesla? Now, I will say that I think Tesla is much more than a car company. It is a technology company.
Right.
So that's the other thing you have to realize is sentiment has changed as far as large tech companies. That's really what Tesla is a large tech company. But if you look at what Tesla is trying to do, they're very innovative. And I think that all the things that they are doing, they're going to see that kind of the fruit of their labor over time. So those can be something that investors want to look for, as when stocks have a negative sentiment, but looking at the fundamentals, what does that look like going forward from here?
So if I'm hearing you correctly, another reason aside from what we talked about is that their stock is sinking is that the U.S. economy could end up in a recession next year, hurting car sales.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, yes. And my understanding is that he initially in November was offering a $3,700 discount from cars, and now it's doubled that rebate to $7,500. So they're making the effort to bring car buyers in. Whether or not that succeeds really kind of is going to depend on what the economy looks like at the beginning of the year. Am I crazy?
Well, it's harder for people to buy cars right now because of interest rates going up. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, just on car loans. And that's where you're going to see car manufacturers offering incentives, especially incentives on interest rates. So I think we're going to see more of car manufacturers self-financing for people,
okay,
more than as much discounting. They're going to want to finance because that's what's really holding the consumer back. They don't want to pay 8% for a car loan or 9%
right,
for a car loan.
I want to circle back to that in a second. I want to go across the ocean right now, and it's been 2 years this week since former Prime Minister Boris Johnson signed his Brexit trade deal. And at that point, I remember when he signed it, he declared that Britain would be prosperous, dynamic, and contented after completing its exit from the European Union. That hasn't been the case. Brexit has hobbled the British economy, and the pound has lost 19% of its value against the dollar since Brexit. What do you see moving forward? And I think the dumb guy question I'm going to ask is there such a thing as knocking on the door and saying, let us back in?
Well, you know, Brexit was, people in Britain were determined to go forward with Brexit. I mean, that was clear. They had two votes, both times they wanted Brexit. And even though individuals knew that would probably lead them to a recession, they still wanted it. They kind of wanted their country back. They wanted changes to take place. So they're now suffering. But you know, we had the pandemic as well. So that kind of hit at the same time right afterwards. So you know, no surprise that their economy has been struggling. Do I think they're going to want to join the European Union again and be part of the euro again? I don't think they want that. So, you know, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to do everything they can to maintain their independence, even if it means suffering, which it has been. And we've seen with the prime minister turnover that they've had, a lot of unsettled items as far as the inflation rate in Britain has been astronomical, much greater than other areas of the world. So, yeah, they're having a hard time. But, you know, when you think about it, Britain has been through many hard times. World War II, they suffered greatly and they came out of that. So I have confidence that they will once again prevail and kind of just get through it.
Right. World War II, I might mention, though, was not self-inflicted. This is a self-inflicted wound, and while failing to boost exports or anything like that, even as other parts of the world have enjoyed a post-pandemic trade boom, they have not.
Well, they don't have a lot either.
Right.
That's their issue, is that they're a huge financial hub, and so that's what they've got, but they don't have a lot of other things.
Right. Right. Oh, well put. You mentioned something to me right before we went on air that I'm the guy that takes his lights down the day after Christmas, but I was fascinated by something you're calling the Santa Claus Rally. We're right in the middle of the Santa Claus Rally. Explain what that is.
So, the Santa Claus Rally has happened since the 1950s, which is amazing. Okay. And it's 80% of the time since 1950. The market during the Santa Claus rally has been up around 1.3 to 1.8% during that time. But we haven't seen it happen yet. It typically runs the last 5 trading days in December and the first 2 in January. So that means it would have already started, and we haven't seen it yet. Now we'll see what happens today in the markets. Early morning pre-trade, the markets were up, and then, you know, they're kind of flat. So we'll see what happens today. But typically, we have this kind of rally at the end of the year, and we'll see if that happens this year or not. One of the things I'll also mention, Ed, is that since 1928, the S&P 500 has only had 2 or more consecutive years of negative total returns on only 4 occasions. Okay, so we know we've had one in 2022, and the big question is, what does it look like in 2023?
Right.
But only 4 times, the Great Depression, World War II, 1970s oil crisis, and dot-com. Those are the only 4 where we saw consecutive declines in the S&P 500. And what I'll say is what typically happens after we have a decline like we've had this year is we tend to have quite a huge rally the next year. The S&P 500 has bounced back an average of more than 20% within 12 months coming out of post-World War II bear market.
Ooh, that's tasty.
So, and more than 40% following the last 7 bear markets since 1987. So I say, hold on, people. I know it's hard. It's not easy to hold on when we've had a rough year like this year, but we do still see areas of opportunity going into this next year. And so I say to investors to stay with your investment program. Of course, you know, make sure, have somebody review it to make sure that you are where you need to be as far as your allocation.
A calm mind and a cool head when we need it. Thank you for that. That was pretty cool. The recession. I get so many calls from listeners about will we be in a recession in the first quarter of next year? How would people deal with it if we are?
Right. So a couple pointers on that. I don't think that we can ignore that we have an inverted yield curve, because there's no better indicator of a recession coming than an inverted yield curve. And that means that the shorter end of the curve is higher than the longer end of the curve. And currently, the 2-year is at 4.5%, the 10-year is at 3.85%. So we have currently an inverted yield curve, and we've had it for a while. And that is a strong indication of a potential recession in 2023. So the way I view it is, even though the Fed is trying to avert that, we have to potentially expect a recession. In other words, don't ignore these signals. And with that, remember that the markets are always ahead. So by the time we actually know we're in a recession, the markets may have already started to rally again and come out of things. So not as much focus there. What investors should be focused on is their personal finances. And what are you doing personally to make sure you get through a recession? In other words, having emergency savings on hand, making sure you're not overspending. Now is the time to really pull back a little bit on spending, Ed. I would tell people to think about being more careful in 2023 with their purchases and trying to shore up more cash. We're going to hear more and more layoffs. That is going to happen. So you're going to hear of your friends or neighbors who are laid off. That's all part of a normal slowing economy. And so if, let's say, that happens to somebody, that person needs to be prepared for not having their job. And thankfully, there's still a strong labor market, but you have to have the time. You're going to need time to get that next job. That next job may take 3 months or 6 months to get that job. I just got a phone call last week. One of my clients, an executive at a publicly traded company, laid off. So, you know, it's happening, Ed. So now it's hunkering down, getting ready, having savings, and being able to get through this next year, and then things will get better.
And if I may, without digging too deep into it, this was the advice you gave that person, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we already, you know, we kind of went through the plan of what this person needed to do over the next 3 and 6 months, and I was able to reassure her that she's absolutely fine.
Okay.
So, but she needed that reassurance. You know, you're laid off from a position and you're an executive in a publicly traded company. That doesn't feel good. It had to do with the whole unit. That entire unit in that company was dispersed. In other words, that company is no longer going in that direction. So the entire team was laid off. So, yeah. Those are the things that people need to expect in 2023.
Absolutely sound advice. You mentioned when we started at the top here that you had to do some work before you could actually even think about skiing today. You're working on your book at all? And is Telluride a great place to work? I can imagine it's a great place to work on your book.
Oh, it's so peaceful.
Right.
It's a very, very peaceful place. Right. And I will admit that I have not done any of that since I've been here because I have been enjoying family. I had family in town and, you know, Christmas and all that. But I am going to have some time going forward to do a little of that. And I am almost done and looking forward to that book coming out in 2023. And it's going to be called Wealth Wise for Women.
Okay.
So, and we do have our Wealth Wise for Women Facebook page up, and we'd ask for your listeners to go on and join our community on WealthWise for Women.
Fantastic. I'll look forward. I'm really looking forward to an autographed copy of that book as soon as it comes out.
Absolutely.
Clear my throat there. And maybe we have you come in and sit down and we'll chat about it, go over it chapter by chapter or however you want to do it. I'd love to go through it. And I would suggest that when it does come out, do you have an idea of when in 2023?
Don't.
Okay.
It has to do with publishing and figuring out which route I'm going to go in publishing. Okay. But as soon as I know, Ed, I will let you know.
I thank you for that. And how do our listeners find you in the meantime?
WealthWiseFinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
As always, it's a pleasure to speak with you in a really informative conversation, Laureen. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you, Ed, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Thanks, Laureen. 8:24 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.